Rolling. Hey.
Rolling. I thought we'd start out with some top news. I heard all the way over here across the pond that Australia approves the first chlamydia vaccine for koalas, which seems important.
Sure.
I didn't know that koalas had such lifestyles.
Yeah, I think I don't know much about koalas. I don't spend much time with them, but I think they are.
I wouldn't either.
Susceptible to a bit of the old chlamydia.
As we all are.
Can't remember what the deal is with that. Hey, speak for yourself, mate.
Except for those in committed relationships.
Yeah, cool. Big news.
Like the president of our country. Hold on.
Do it. Go there. Let loose, Justin.
Deal.
Did you deliberately mute your mic there? Because it was perfectly timed.
Blinking
if you
like
did.
Mad back there. Boop, boop. Yeah, that's funny. Wasn't even trying. Oh, I.
Excellent. Nice. What's the?
How's it going?
Pretty good. What's news? No chlamydia here. I'm falling deeper and deeper down the grasshopper rabbit hole and loving it. What a crazy piece of software.
Isn't it wild that it was just like a beta of some dude that worked for Rhino at one point, I think.
Is
I
it?
Don't even know if he still does he?
I don't know the story.
It was in beta for like a decade.
I knew that. It's just, it's wild. Like I've been doing I've been doing a lot of Grasshopper this week, trying to improve my robot programming capabilities, or expand upon my capabilities, now that I've got some production code running. Cool, need to make use of the other robot that's got a spindle and blah, blah, blah. What else can I do with this? And just, going down the rabbit hole. And I'm still very, very amateur. And I watched this. I'll put it in the links because it was a really good Grasshopper tutorial. Just watching someone who really knows what they're doing. Just like a one-to-one screen, like time-wise, just a one-to-one unedited screen capture for like 25 minutes of him building like a 3D printing, like an additive 3D printing workflow where he builds the toolpath, basically. As polylines and Grasshopper for a
crazy
robot to 3D print. And just watching someone who really knows what they're doing with it, I was just blown away of like, how do you even learn this properly? Like, it feels like there's so many modules.
Robot school.
I want to go to robot school and learn Grasshopper properly. It was just cool to watch someone who really, like, just flowing with it and just, like, make a little mistake, backtrack. Oh, that's where the mistake is. Cool. Yep. Repatch some wires.
Mm-hmm.
Really pleasing. Anyway, so I'm kind of having fun noodling around with that every evening at the moment. Just basically making my own CAM package. Oh, nice makeup.
You noticed.
I caught it.
I was trying to fix... Barry. Ooh.
Basically so just trying to make my own, six-axis CAM package from scratch of like, cool, I need this sort of toolpath. Cool. I'll make up a little patch for that I can plug into the input, and then I need this sort of toolpath. And I want multi-axis tool orientation, like you can choose it in Fusion, just pick a vector. And that locked the tool orientation to that vector and got that worked out.
That's crazy.
I got some sort of pose restraints worked out so the robot will stay within some sort of constrained pose as it's trying to do. Yeah. Sick.
It's fun. I mean, I get it, but also, like, how do you conceptualize that? Is your brain turned into, like, it's like being able to read code? You can just do that now?
Nah, I'm just hacking my way through it. just one little bit at a time of just like, oh, yeah, that would be good if it did that. Cool. How do I do that? Work it out, nut it out. Yeah. And I like I'm using a little bit of AI assistance, but as I've said before, Gemini 2.5 is okay at it. GPT-5 is terrible at it. Like, the robots aren't that good at helping with Grasshopper because it's not language per se. I know it's kind of a visual overlay for what is ultimately a language, but they're not super useful at helping and solving problems. So I'm kind of just hacking my way through it, and it's really enjoyable.
That is wild. It's cool that you're like learning how to do it.
You did it at school, didn't you? No,
I've never touched a robot. Architecture school?
No, sorry. No, I mean Grasshopper.
Oh, sorry. Yes. And that's why I can kind of relate to like I was probably, I mean, a lot of people never touch Grasshopper. Let's just start there. Nobody, it was like you had to be interested in it. You know, like you pick your tools, and some people are like really good with like a Wacom tablet and like drawing on it. And, you know, it's just like you find what you really like. And for me, computers were always that thing in some form. That's why I fell into like, how can I make things with computers, which was a CNC router basically. But I had friends that like were really good at making complicated things. My version was always like, how can I make my life easier and do less? Like the version I can always, I remember is we had to make a hotel downtown in Lincoln where my university was in Nebraska. And you kind of knew how many rooms you needed per floor. And so I would change the shape of the building and it would subdivide the floors and put in wall divisions for each and put a hallway in. And all of that then could be turned into a laser cut model pretty directly. And I could continue based on critique or thought. I could quickly change the shape and Grasshopper would help me chop it up. So you're kind of always, we would solve like a solution each time we'd have a project. And for me, it was always fairly functional, whereas people would get like really generative and my brain never quite worked like that. But doing, you know, what you're doing is, I can see it, but also like, I feel like I'm so foreign to it anymore.
Yeah, so much of the content out there is about that sort of generative architecture stuff. Like, it seems to be its biggest use case, which makes sense, as far as I can tell, in terms of what people are actually using it for.
A lot of plugins made for it early, I think, that helped with that.
Yeah.
Panel tools and...
Yeah, it's amazing. That's where my head's at.
I would like more videos of how it works.
Okay.
When you have all your extra time.
Sure. Can do. Can do.
So you discovered this. We didn't talk about the HTX Studio, did we?
No.
I swear, when I saw you put this on here, I was like, oh, I did send it to him. But I just recommended this HTX Studio video of their like assembly line of paper folding.
Same video.
Right? Is this what you saw? Yeah.
Yeah.
So I saw it on YouTube, watched it. I swear I was like, oh, Jem would enjoy this. And I never sent it to you. What did you think of it?
I'd come across, Laura actually found this guy before I did, this Chinese YouTube studio, because they were making robotic litter bins that were following them around the office. That was a video I found a little while ago of theirs. Anyway, so I subscribed to the channel at the time, and so I saw this video pop up where they're making this paper origami folding and packaging
origami
machine.
Yeah.
It's a very well done channel. I recommend. Good use of 80/20 and industrial automation, pneumatics, and just so much work going into a silly idea. I love it.
As they noted in the beginning of the video, the cinematography and quality of the video, even for YouTube, was so good that they put a note that said this is not CGI. I was like, holy shit. The concept and like what it ends up being is less interesting to me than just that they do it. And the video actually is 6 days, 450,000 views, but they have 1.2 million subscribers already. And he says somewhere in the video that they just never published to YouTube because they're a Chinese. I'm assuming YouTube isn't as popular in China and that they have their own networks, because he said we have tens of millions or hundreds of millions of views.
He said he's whatever got they're 10, using. 10 million subs on whatever their platform is.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So they've just recently started putting videos on YouTube and they have 1.2 million subscribers after six videos.
It is. Yeah. It's kind of. There's part of me loves that idea of noodling around making random things for a YouTube channel and that being all I did. Like, I think, you know, it's an attractive idea, right? It's got to be.
Yeah.
To anyone who makes stuff, right. Designs stuff. Right. There's a bit of a dreamy, like, wouldn't that be cool? Whenever I find channels like this, I tend to like and subscribe.
Right.
Aspirational.
I that's funny because I saw it and there was no part of me that was like, I didn't have that like not FOMO but like pissed off like, oh, I could be doing that feeling and like jealousy. I was just like, this is just wild. Like, I don't want to learn how to do this. Like, this is way beyond my interests right now.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah. There's something like part of the attraction is the singularity. Well, and this is totally projected. I don't know what this studio even does. They might be a legitimate studio who are doing client work, or they might.
It
just
seems
be
like they're just
YouTube.
Doing
just video,
videos.
Yeah,
they're like a content creator, and they've assembled a cast or just super nerds that know how to do robotics and electrical engineering too. Was what I took from that. I only watched one video, so.
Okay. Yeah, that was my impression too. Maybe they do other work. I don't know. Anyway, there's something appealing to me about the sort of the singularity of just singular. Like the focus. The like.
Yeah. Yeah.
We just make YouTube videos of random whatever the hell we want.
How long did they say that video took them? Like 2 years?
Months. 8 months to build that machine, I think. Yeah.
Or something about how he mentioned, like, I thought about this 3 years ago. I forget what it was.
Possibly. Amazing.
Wild.
Oh, well. Here we are in our little shops. What are you building this week, Justin?
I'm just drilling holes.
Still drilling holes?
It's my machine that makes holes.
your shop saber's surviving the grueling...
It's doing great. I've come to realize that this pre-finished plywood with, like, I always call it like low ply core, where it's just like very few plies in the center, super soft. I always thought, oh, drilling a bunch of holes like this would be bad for the machine, but it's like zero pressure on it. Like, it's a carbide tipped drill bit and it just goes straight through with no issue. So it can just keep going indefinitely, it seems like. The only thing that stopped us was after, I want to say, pause for calculation.
30,
something like 70,000, 70 plus thousand holes of a used tool when we started. We are using, like, I don't know a better way. The language for these things is goofy, I've come to find out. You know, like the carbide tipped, like, they call them boring bits, but they're like a drill bit that's a brad point.
Yep.
Amanda makes them. A bunch of people make them. Freud. And then there's a lot of like straight from China brands that are on Amazon. I bought another Amanda one. It's like maybe the premium brand, I suppose, of these here. Because right when we started the project, I thought we might need another one of these. Pretty likely, 100,000 holes, we're going to need this. Had it like day two or three of cutting this job, which is still going right now. And we go to use it 2 days ago, 3 days ago, 3 days ago. And it was the wrong tool.
Ah.
And it just, I got a half inch one instead of a 10 millimeter is what we were cutting. And I didn't really panic, but I was like, oh no. Good thing we're ahead of this project timeline because it was too late to order anywhere else. And like the fast solution is always Amazon if they can do it, if they have it. And they didn't have any available. So I went all over the internet. No other companies. This is that standard like problem, at least here, is couldn't find any of the companies that sold these kind of tools if they even had shipping deadlines for that day or if they could get stuff out that day. Nowhere locally has these kind of tools. And so I just ordered four random brands on Amazon, all longer than we were using. And the first one of two that showed up that day, the next day, just happened to work pretty good.
Great.
But I got lucky in that regard, but I was like, what do you, I had the backup and I didn't even, maybe just be more clear about making sure it's the right one, I suppose.
Check it when it comes in next time. Yeah. I mean, that's amazing that you're getting that tool life. Your feeds and speeds must be on point. Like you're not generating excess heat, dulling your tool.
Really soft.
It's cool. Yeah, sure. But you could still get
the top edge
really wrong.
Right.
The two CNC vacuum bed fires I've had have been as a result of bad drilling programming.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little interesting because as soon as you start cutting with a new one, I think different than end mills, it immediately was clear to me that the old one was dull. And we had been gaslit into like, even in looking under the microscope, there were really nothing telling us like this is dull, but it was just starting to chip a little bit on the top of the hole, which is like the only thing it could do wrong, basically. And the new one just sounds so smooth, like there's no pressure to it as it's going in. And the old one was kind of, mark.
Does your Z-axis on the shop saber, does it float or is it rigid?
Is it what or what?
Does it float? Like, say, if you tried to punch too hard, too fast a feed rate into that board and the tool just couldn't keep up with the downward pressure, what happens?
No, it's on a ball screw.
Yeah.
So it's rigid, as I want to say. Like, it can't move all three. That was one of the selling points to me of when I was shopping for them, is all three axes were ball screw. Particularly it has a balancer that speeds up the Z-axis to match the other axes.
That's right, yeah. Because our Z-axis is on a ball screw as well, but it's on a sliding plate. So if your plunge feed exceeds the tool pressure, what the tool's physically capable of dropping at, spindle just ride up on its little, which is whack, pretty whack.
Why would you want that? Is it a feature or a bug?
Maybe they've put it in as a sort of override safety feature, but it means
like a fuse.
Yeah, maybe it's a mechanical fuse. But what happens if you try and drill too fast? You hear the spindle go, like it rides, and then you hear it go clunk as it catches up to its movement and goes. At the bottom of the hole, and it sounds horrible.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I don't want that.
Johnny had a frightening incident on Trinity this week, actually. Trinity's got this carousel tool changer that hangs off the side of the gantry, and it's got seven tools in it, and it's got this stupid mechanism in it. We've got these metal tubes that are like, 60 mil diameter, heavy turned metal tubes. Each one of the seven ISO 30 tools sits in one of these tubes in the top of it, in the carousel. And then when you do a tool change, the little tool changing piston comes around under the tube, magnets onto the bottom of it and pushes that metal tube up in through the top of the carousel to the spindle. Oops. Yep. Sorry, Mike. And very occasionally what happens is that plywood chips or stringy chips from the job get jammed between the tube and the side of the tool holder, and it gets stuck.
Locks it,
and the tube stays engaged with the tool. It thinks it's finished the tool change, and it spins up to 15,000 RPM, but it spins up this metal tube at the same time, and it just like...
Oh, my God.
Makes the most awful noise. It's never thrown the tube across the shop, but obviously that's the risk, is that it picks up this bit of steel and just goes... Poof.
My God.
Thankfully, every time it's happened, it's just kind of made this awful noise, and John's got to the e-stop fast enough, and the tube just kind of rattles to the ground, but it's frightening. Anyway, it happened again the other day, and we were standing looking at it. It's like, we've really got to fix this. So we're going to try just replacing all those metal tubes with 3D printed parts. So it could still happen, but then it's, you know, it's a lightweight plastic part that will either just self-destruct or smash and fall off. And if it does get chucked across the shop, it's, you know, obviously much less of a hazard.
Yeah. Like an interlock of some sort. I don't know what, like a pressure sensor if it like, I don't know how, though.
It's really scary. And the other shit thing about it is that whenever it happens, it literally rattles the whole spindle off its mount. Like, it loosens all the spindle mounting bolts, and we have to remount and retram the machine. Like, it's
fucked. You're really... This is a hard sell for this machine. I can't wait to buy one.
It's... Yeah, yep. Yep, 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 yep. Otherwise, Trinity's great. There's some weird decisions they made in it, for sure. And it's the CNC we're keeping. Oh, no. Oh, no. It's going to be our only machine.
Are you sure about that? Are you sure? Sure that's what you want? Yeah, so that reminds me of one of the people that responded to my UMC question on stories a couple weeks back, or last week, I guess. And they were like, oh, I'd love to hear what you find out, but I'm also curious. I'm also curious, are you really sure you want a 5-axis? And I was like, what do you know?
Why aren't you telling me?
I know they're not perfect, but like, what? Anyway.
Where are you at with that?
On that necessarily. Kind of just in the research phase. I've been looking at financing and... I did get a hold of the local Haas dealer finally after I just sent them another email. I think it's email 4. Finally, I contacted them on their website through 2 emails otherwise, and finally got somebody to respond to me. It took like 3 weeks, which is crazy. Anyway, so I don't have any definitive new steps by any means, but still thinking.
Have you got a business case for it?
We talked about it today. I do have some progress on the product that I think will create the most business case for buying either machine that I'm considering, buying either type. It's kind of really just based on if the one machine I like, I suppose, that's used locally is a good condition and financing works. And it's like, whenever you buy a used machine here, at least the financing is, especially compared to Haas's financing, is significantly more interest wise and trickier to get. The joke somebody said to me the other day was, I think if you're on the website for Haas, you've already been approved for financing.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd been meaning to ask you about used machines. So you are considering used as an option, secondhand?
I just don't really know how to where to shop for. I know there's a few websites. It's one of those things where I don't feel super capable of inspecting and qualifying a machine to be like the YCM we got. It's like I could go look at it. I took a couple friends to go look at it. We did some circle diamond square tests. I'd asked other people what I should look at. And it's, you know, a three axis machine. It's like, it had so few hours. It was like, all right, well, it's not majorly messed up here. Like what?
Yeah.
But a five axis machine used is like, it feels so much more complicated. And I don't, in terms of, knowing that it's going to hold tolerances and what do they call it? MZT or something like that. Machine zero something. I don't know. Like, you know, that it holds its 0 point center point. Yeah, I don't know. I've asked a lot of a handful of people about it. Ideally, I think I would hire somebody or find somebody to help me go check it out. If we go look at a used five axis.
Yeah, so, it's tricky, isn't it? It's hard.
You can't really afford a full price one.
Yeah. I don't really have much experience with secondhand. Certainly not with mills, but
just
like
just six axis.
When we bought, well, both of my sort of major secondhand machine purchases, there's been something factor about them which overrides that. So like when we bought Trinity,
yeah,
it only had 200 hours on it.
Yeah.
And I knew that the technician really well. She used to work for me. So I was like, hey, Riley, what?
Yeah, that's perfect.
Who's crashed this machine and how? She's like, oh, yeah, blah, 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 blah. It's like, great, okay, I'm buying it. And then the robots, it was also unique in that the seller was just like crazy generous and open about the condition they're in, how they worked, blah, 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 just like spent hours with me going over them.
And, yeah.
You know, and theoretically, I could have been led down the garden path in that situation as well. But there's always risks. But I don't know. It scares me too. Like going out and looking at a used machine that you're not that familiar with, someone you don't know. It's like, yeah, what questions do you ask? How much can you expect to say? Hey, you know, I want to run this test part and check this and blah blah blah. Like,
how many times have you crashed it? And
yeah,
like, gotta get an answer you correctly.
Yeah,
like, you know, having gone through buying a car recently, it's similar to me, very similar. At least in this case, it's fairly easy to test its capabilities. Like if it can't, if it can't hold tolerances, if it can't tool change, it can't use the coolant, and all these things. It's like you're gonna see it right away. Whereas I feel like in a car, some tiny little niggling thing will destroy its timing belt or something that you just like didn't know was coming. And like this, one of our clients in town, this is just, I'm not going to name names yet, but I feel like it's worthy of it soon here. They bought a new machine and it was a router. The VFD went out within 10 hours of use, 5 hours of use. And they have strung them along for 6 weeks without a VFD for the machine. Eesh. They have had no machine capability for 6 weeks on a brand new machine. And I was like, that is madness. Like,
Jesus.
You should have had a loaner. You should have had a free replacement part, like something in between, than no use of your machine for 6 weeks, basically being blamed for like installing it wrong. By a union electrician.
Far out.
Horrible. So it's so like, I don't know where I was going with that other than, yeah, it's, I don't know what the connection was. I just thought of that and frustrated me.
Is there anything stopping you making the new product on your existing machine?
No. That's after you asked me the business case last week, which I'm sure there's a lot of laughing right now. I had thought of that. It just kind of skips out of my brain every once in a while of like solving the problem and of finding and buying machines and looking through all those things and kind of knowing what I want. Then maybe pausing and going, all right, well, how do you pay for it? What was the reasoning for it? And maybe that's what you brought up again. No, we can make it. It's got a feature that I'm trying to resolve well still, and it was kind of more of like a big problem solving problem rather than like just go make it. Like it's got,
yep,
let's say 4 out of 5 features solved, and the fifth one is as important as the rest of them.
Yeah, okay, cool. Well, I'll keep annoying you about that.
That's good, yeah, please.
In multi-axis milling land, I have discovered this week that plywood is just not very appropriate for making tombstones or risers or any fixtures for...
What happened other than...
I crashed the machine.
Destruction that happened, yeah.
Yeah, because I stacked it pretty good. Did pretty much the same trick that John had done when he crashed the sanding head previously, where got into a tricky spot, stopped it in time, didn't crash, and then trying to jog out of the sticky spot, then stacked it with a jogging move going the wrong way. And the robot just dragged the whole fixture out of its mounts on the floor and pushed it in the wrong direction. And just in the next morning, I said about realigning everything, and then second time round, so I was doing a better job at alignment, and just discovered how wonky all of that pot and rail plywood thing that we made, just how wonky it actually is. Nothing here is true. And I know it doesn't matter that much. I'm just sanding things, but the sanding pressure starts to complain if there's a deviation of, half a millimeter here or there. So it needs to be reasonably accurate, not machining accurate, but, reasonably true. And the plywood fixture is just not that true. So I don't know whether I should...
Extrusions, baby.
Extrusions. I know, thinking about that during the week, after our chat last week, maybe I'd bite the bullet and start...
Yeah.
Using some extrusion.
You need a mill.
I know what I need. A milling machine.
You need another hammer.
But yeah. Maybe that is the answer. I'll look into that.
I was going to send you. Do you have something similar to McMaster? Do you have a shopping for all industrial products website?
No.
No,
not really. There's industry specific ones. I know. Sorry for your loss.
Sorry.
There's industry specific ones, but there's really nothing like McMaster here. Crazy thing that you've got. The certain websites I'll go to for this category of thing or that category of thing, but not that sort of broad catch-all. Nah. No, we just got less people, much smaller market than you.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm jealous of the people that, it's already really good. It saved my butt. We're running this job in the, I tried to order, they don't have these drills. They have brad points, but they were over 100 mil long. And I was like, that's not going to be a good plywood drilling tool. But normally, especially for the mill, anything for the mill, man, I can order it at 6:45 p.m. It will be at my shop before 10 a.m. Usually earlier, 9 a.m.
Lucky.
Insane. Gosh. And I think they'll do Saturdays now. And then the people that live near the factory or the distribution places, like L.A., Chicago, I don't remember where else they have them, you can just do will call within an hour or two on Saturdays included. It is crazy. So good.
So cool.
But they saved our butt because we had this our vacuum cart that we clean up the table, and we were cleaning up the backside of all these holes. It has a cyclone and a filter attached to it. It's one of my second YouTube videos I did on this thing. And it dumps into a big kind of 14-gallon barrel that I found 7 years ago now. And it was like pretty hot here. And Ricky came in. He's like, you're not going to love this. And he's like, the barrel just collapsed when I was vacuuming. I cleaned the filter on the inside and emptied it. And it sucked itself in like to almost nothing. And turns out McMaster had them. It was about twice the cost it should have been if I would have gotten it slower, but I had it the next morning. And by the time Ricky came in at like 9:15, he's like, what's this? And I was like, that's the barrel we needed. He's like, what? It's crazy.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yep, nothing like that here. Very jealous.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That was based off the extrusion discussion. I feel like you would definitely, even if you just get, it's such a low cost thing to have a few sticks of it and then a few, just the angle brackets, if you don't have those and just start to like, then in my mind, I'm just like, well, I'll just print. Like this is literally a printed spacer for our desk that goes in. Yeah. To hold it up a little bit taller. And it's like, you can either, somebody's made it already as a printable, or like you can print the brackets if you're just doing it quick and dirty.
I need to do the
extrusion.
I just found the website that's got the crazy like browser modeling tool where you can design all the things. So I'll have a play with that.
I think they'll ship to me.
I need to solve the fixturing thing, because I had a win during the week where I finally programmed like a full sanding path on a kit of parts shelf, so like bevels, edges, surfaces, so I pulled a part off and like every surface had been sanded by the robot, so that was massive. It was a milestone. It's huge, but it was so faffy to get my fixture to that point. Aside from the crashes and the, like, almost stacking it several times. J moves in robot programming are scary. Like, it's like, move L is your point to point. Yeah, or no, it's like, go from this point to this point, but kind of do whatever the hell you want on the way.
Oh.
So, L moves are, like deburring, point to point line, point to point, straight line. And J moves are like, you need to go from here. It's a rapid. So you need to go from this point to this point.
It looks like an arced move.
But it's an uncontrolled arc.
It's not.
it can go wherever it wants, wherever it deems is most efficient between those two points. So, like, I almost had this big crash because it was going to J move from one end of my fixture to the other to start the other, like, edge sanding operation. And it would have just, like, tried to dive through the floor, through the whole fixture. Anyway, I caught that one. But,
wow.
So, yeah, I'm at this point where I'm like, good. Cool, I can sand the part, but if I put a medium shelf on here now, there's going to be so much stuffing around, just realigning, rechecking, blah, 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 blah. So, I need a more reliable indexing workholding method that someone can just unlock it, move it, lock it, and we know that it's in the right spot for the next size of shelf. So, that's the next challenge, I think.
Because it's all, you're using the holes, the through holes, right?
Yeah, correct. Yeah. What did you just send me?
You gotta be able to like do some kind of like pinned or like printed inserts that you can pull in and out to change the size. I'll just send you this video.
Yeah, I mean that's kind of what I've done. It's just the risers. I need to be able to reindex this whole riser from one spot to the next in order to support the next size of shelf, and that's a bit that's challenging in terms of keeping all of that not warpy plywood.
Right.
Noodle town. It's like, as my friend would say, the whole thing is a wet noodle, and it's a pain to align. Mm-hmm. So just as a side thank you, I feel like every problem I mention on here, people DM me on Instagram with little solutions and things. So
that's cool.
Thank you, people. You know who you are.
Yeah. Very cool. I'm just now scrolling videos. It's a good use of time, right?
I mean, yeah, sure. You need a brick, man.
I watched during the podcast, but I'm looking at useful stuff.
I know.
I watched this Pearson work holding video, and how you like scroll past videos a few times, and I was like, clickbait title. I watched him work. Shop owner reacts, and I was like, I don't know. And of course, it was pretty good. It was like one of the employees wore a GoPro, and then Jay kind of like narrated it.
All right.
It's just always, it's kind of like watching somebody's shop tour, but in a different fashion, and is a new employee too, which was interesting. So there's some good stuff, including like how they align different sizes of, it's a little different than what you would need, but different sizes of their pallets on the same fixturing with like 3D printed stops. Boy, this is not typing well today. Pearson video. That's why it keeps auto correcting. Cool. Pearson video. Did I lose you? You muted.
I'm muting. I was got distracted because I was
for a long time.
I was just trolling you by deleting characters as you were typing from across the world.
I'd talk and look back and be like, why does that say Pearson? Why is there no P on Pearson?
Too much fun. Did you put a link in? Yes, cool. All right. Yeah. We'll check out the Eosin video. Have you bought another machine? Justin, what are you doing?
I have.
You have, haven't you?
No, absolutely not. I will never use an engraver in that machine. I bought a Bamboo H2S. We've had, like I said, a bunch of people requesting the Cat 50 stuff, and the limit really is I don't want to assemble different parts. And our first printer, I think, has just hit our useful life.
Oh, really?
Alfred is being retired. It's on sale currently. It gets here Monday already, which is kind of crazy fast. And it's just bigger. I'm excited also for supposedly better accuracy. We'll see if that makes any difference in the end for much, but it just will be nice to... It's a bigger bed too, so like more tool tags. Ricky was like, do you think we could fit two full dust boots at once? And I was like, here's the thing. We can already do that.
Ooh.
The problem is I just like to print one at a time because it's better quality. But I was like, maybe we can print by object too, though, like so far away that they won't hit each other. And I doubt it because usually the gantry is the problem there. But
print by object. Oh, like fully print. Really? Sick. Oh, I forgot, man, you could do that.
Yeah. I feel like that is the most lean way to print because it's basically like one piece flow.
Yeah. I agree. I always feel weird about printing 16 objects on a plate, and it's like, it just seems crap.
I wish it was more advanced, like it was more like 3D aware, because like I would love to do that for everything. Like I wish every part was uniquely printed, but it requires such massive safe zones that you get like two parts on the plate at once sometimes. But I definitely recommend it, especially if you're printing outside PLA, PETG, ABS, all these other materials where the adhesion and the layers are trickier to blend together, it will come out much cleaner because it keeps the heat
residual. Makes sense. Yeah. I'm going to have to go help Ben pack a van presently, but your Airshop stuff's looking cool that you sent me during the week. Very tidy.
We've made some good progress on. Almost took August off. We had 2 weeks of no daycare and things just got a little. I was exhausted. Too much else going on. So I think I'm pretty much at a place where I'm probably soon going to start asking some people to test Airshop. And if you haven't heard of this before, I have a little software project that is solving for us inventory management and quoting of jobs and tying those together. And I started it last year, but it's pretty much ready. I think the thing that I don't have ready is taking money from people yet. So currently it's definitely free.
Free!
Because I don't know how to charge you fully yet, but that's, I think I just need to spend a little time with it. Yeah, I sent Jim some of the Kanban cards, which I think have turned out really nicely. You can basically like instantly generate cards that you would put with your inventory items and help to manage them, which link straight back. Holy moly.
What?
I saw another human. Person. Saw another guy's there.
Yeah, Ben just turned up.
Anyway.
Those Kanban cards are beautiful. And as per usual, your sense of graphic design is excellent. You have that perfect utilitarian, like, just well-balanced sense of design. Like, your logo, the parts department logo, anything you seem to make in that department just is, like, just simple, nice, on point. I like
it. Thank you. Wasn't even AI.
I know. I can tell because it's decent.
Yeah, I messed it up a lot. I had to do a lot myself. Anyway, yeah. So there's a link if you're interested to sign up for information or to be an early tester of it. And yeah, soon.
Cool.
Did you catch most of his stuff? You like, what did he say? So Eric Trine, because he said it's like wine, and one of the stories is responding to how he couldn't pronounce his name, was tipped off that we were talking about him, and kindly posted about the show and about how he thought talking about this kind of stuff was beneficial, and he didn't want to hold anything back. Hopefully at some point we will maybe talk to him here as a guest. Talked about wanting to be on podcasts. So I was like, well, we could do that if we can figure out a time where the Venn diagrams hit.
He's in your side of the world, isn't he?
Yeah, so it should be fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
He has an afternoon free. Anyway, this is nice of him.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a... As you said last week, he really is a bit of a kind of, a thought leader in this space. And it's amazing the industries that he touches. Like, I've got friends in marketing and comms and, like, tech who are like, yeah, I follow Eric. He says good things. It's like, he's not just constrained. So, yeah, I want to see that guy succeed.
Yeah,
same. And whatever that means for him, so...
That means we just have to talk. We have to talk before next week if we want to schedule something.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Cool. Go pack a van.
I'll pack a van. Bye. Thanks, man.
Bye.
Ding dong.